Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning I want to continue on in a series. Several weeks ago, many weeks ago, we started on a series out of the book of Acts. And it is the follow-on, the chronology of kind of what happened after Jesus' ministry. Jesus laid his life down, rose from the dead, and 40 days later, the church's birth at the Pentecost, Holy Spirit came, and amazing things, crazy things happened. And the book of Acts is the story of what happened. Just snippets, because there were so many different things that happened, but there are just some highlights of things as written in the book of Acts. It's written by a doctor, Dr. Luke. And he was interviewing different people, a lot from Jesus' mother Mary and what happened in the book of Acts and in her life. But he wrote down, this is what happened. This is how the church was birthed. Here were the challenges. And over the last couple of weeks that I've been speaking, we talked about some of the challenges that were happening, whether it was in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. It was a challenge for them. If you don't know that story, it's okay. They just encountered a little speed bump in these two people's lives, and the church moved forward. And then in Acts chapter 6, there was also a challenge, and we're going to look at it here in just a second. This morning, I'm going to use the New American Standard as far as the translation, and some people go, finally, the New American Standard translation. Other people, it's okay. It's all right. But again, in Acts chapter 6, and we're going to actually look in chapter 8, will be the message this morning again. But in Acts chapter 6, there was trouble in the church. There was problems. And the Bible is, that's one of the things I so appreciate about the Word of God. It doesn't hide the warts and pimples. You know, sometimes when, if you have people over to your house, guests are coming over to your house, what do? When guests are coming over to your house? You clean it. You put all the stuff back in the closets, you sweep, you throw some stuff out, you hide stuff. The Bible doesn't sweep or hide anything. It puts it all right there. And it names names, and you're like, oh my goodness, help me, Jesus. And it's one of the things, I'm glad I didn't live then. I don't know how I would have ended up in the Bible. Because some of the people, their stories, you're like, oh my goodness, that's not pretty. But the Bible doesn't hide the facts. And it's encouraging for me to see that people have real lives. They have real challenges. Anybody else have issues and attitudes they'd like to get rid of that need to be changed? Rich, yeah, you're a little late with your hand, but I mean, I'm not going to mention you by name, but you should have had two up. I don't know. I've known him for 40 plus years. He's got challenges. You know, I'm one of his friends. We understand each other. Just for backdrop, I'm just going to read just a snippet out of Acts chapter 6, we spent an entire Sunday on this challenge, but there was trouble in the church. And just for a review, because it is relevant, it is germane to the message this morning, I just want to review quickly out of Acts chapter 6. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you've already been speaking. You've already been telling us your heart, communicating life, challenging us, reminding us about who Jesus you are, what you're really like. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here and you've given us the Word of God. And it doesn't tell us everything about life, but it gives us principles, guidelines in which to operate, truth. And I thank you, Jesus, that when you came, the Bible says that if we've seen you, Jesus, we've seen the Father. We know what heaven looks like because of Jesus, how you lived your life. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you wrote down things that Jesus said, things that Jesus did. And Lord, I thank you. And also in the Bible, it says, if everything was written down, all the books of the earth couldn't contain all that Jesus said and did. But Lord, you did give us this. Father, so we value the Word of God more than the opinions of society, more than my experiences. Though, Lord, for me, my whole life, I experienced rejection and abandonment issues. But Father, you've given me through you, Jesus, and through understanding the Word, a new identity. And Lord, help me to lay hold of that identity in you, Jesus, that I'm not hampered and held back all the rest of my days because of bad experiences that I had. Thank you for the Bible. thank you, thank you, thank you for the Word of God, Lord, that it would come alive this morning, that it would be relevant and real, and that I could take something home today to mull on, amuse on, and eat on the rest of this week. So bless us this morning. Thank you, mighty Spirit of God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. There was trouble in the church. Going back a couple of chapters, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, New American Standard, the 1995 version. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint. Can you imagine a complaint in church? Unbelievable. What's wrong with these people? A complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. They're all Jewish, just different backgrounds. One was had embraced kind of the culture of the day, the Greek, and the other is traditionalist. No, we're staying. Because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So they said, hey, we got a problem. We got 2 different groups of people. The smaller group, the Hellenistic Jews, their widows are being neglected. They're not getting a fair share because these piggies, the other group of ladies, are eating all the food and it needs to be equal distribution. There was a little bit of racism, I'm sure, a little bit of looking down on another group as maybe not quite as pure as the other. I'm glad that doesn't happen in the church today. Fighting over arguing over doctrine and beliefs and say, well, you're stupid, you're wrong. I'm glad we don't have any issues with that. But the disciples said, you know what? This is a real issue. People are hurting. There's confusion in the church. There's problem in the church. Let's pick 7 people who are great administrators and okay with conflict resolution. No, that's not. They didn't pick out just the administrators and the peacekeepers, the peacemakers. No, they said, you know what? There's a problem. Let's get people who are full of the Spirit of God, full of wisdom. And let's ask these people to bring peace to the body, justice, rightness, God's heart, heaven on earth amidst the church. And they selected 7 people, 7 men of good reputation, the Bible says, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And yes, there needed to be administration. Administration is our friend. It's not a problem. Put them in charge so that people can be blessed. And out of this, they didn't call them deacons. We're going to select 7 deacons. No, it's 7 people to bring peace to the body. And out of that, the diaconate was what they were called. Servants. That's the word servants. It was simple servant. Well, what do you have, deacons? That's an official office. No, they were servants. That's what the word means. Just a servant. Not just a servant, but just a servant. Just a servant. Acts 6, 5 through 6, just following on. The statement, we need to select some people to help. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, who we spoke about last time I was up here. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Philip. Everybody say Philip. Philip. One L. Philip. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Why? Because they needed help. You got a bunch of people squabbling. You need wisdom, not just an administrative plan. You need wisdom from heaven. There's trouble in the church. And there was peace because these seven brought justice, brought righteousness, brought heaven, brought the rightness of what God's heart would be for these people in need. Then chapter 7, and we looked at that last time I was up here. Chapter 7, one of the, and the first mentioned deacon in this deaconing role in which they operated, this first guy, Stephen, he's a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. This guy was dynamite, absolute dynamite. I know, tell them I'm coming. Chapter 7 talks about this guy, Stephen, and the religious people, the Jewish people who were not converts to Jesus at this point, they hated Stephen because he used to be part of them. He himself was a Hellenistic Jew, and he was moving in power, and there's miracles and signs and wonders at Stephen's hand. And the Jewish people who hadn't converted to Jesus, they're jealous because people are now looking to this guy and this group of people, the followers of Jesus called the Way. And there's just so much jealousy. And so they brought Stephen in and said, I heard you're spreading a bad report. You're talking against Moses and against God. Stephen, what do you have to say? And Stephen did this amazing, as chapter 7 lays out, this amazing message. It was so good, they killed him. So that's why, you know, tone it down on Sunday. They killed him. The whole chapter 7 was amazing. And it was led by this man named Saul. A young man, a passionate man. And we talked about Saul last time. And Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, at this point, he is a vicious destroyer of the church. Saul is not a believer at this point, and he is leading the mob. And there's more trouble for the early church. Trouble, 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 real trouble. So much so that now it is okay to kill Christians. It's all right to put them in prison. So now we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 8, and this is the message for this morning. Acts chapter 8, we're going to just pick three or four different passages out of chapter 8. Again, starting in verse 1 through 13, reading again from the New American Standard. Saul, who became Paul, but still an enemy of the church at this point, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, speaking of Stephen in chapter 7. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church. We look at the words, destroying, tearing it up to shreds. It's like a wild animal tearing at an animal and just destroying it. That's the word here that Paul is destroying the church. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to vote you out. No, he's putting people in prison, harming them, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Verse 4, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip, our guy Philip, one of the, just a deacon, just Philip. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. I thought he was just a deacon. He's just one of those administrative guys. You know, puts together the schedule. Okay, you're on the doors today. You're doing tea. You're doing coffee. Give the ladies over here some more bread. They're a little thin over here. It's just Philip. He's just a servant, right? It's just him. So the crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and the lame were healed, all at the hands of just Philip. Verse 8, so there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, Simon, this man is what was called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had a long time astonished them with his magic arts. So you got this guy, Simon, who's a sorcerer, and he's doing through black, through the occult, he's actually performing miracles. You think, how can that be? That's not right. Go to some of the foreign countries. Demonic spirits, they can do things. And in the Western, we're like, I don't even know if God can do that. Does he still do that? There's many Christians in the West who don't believe in miracles anymore. Go to Africa. Go to India if you would like to see black magic happening and true miracles from heaven. The power is there, whether it's the occult or heaven, and we know which is more powerful. But this man, Simon, had a reputation for doing amazing things. Verse 11 again. And they were giving him, Simon, attention, not a Christian, because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip, be preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, the people, they were baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. So this man who practiced sorcery, he becomes a believer. But we're not going to talk about Simon this morning. We're going to jump ahead, same chapter, down to verse 25. And we're going to carry on with this man, Philip, who is just a deacon. Verse 25, same chapter 8. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of God, the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem. This is John and Peter. And were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he, Philip, got up and went. This is just our deacon. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch. We're not going to go into that this morning. Just a guy, had some challenges physically, but he's okay. So he, Philip, got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he, this eunuch, was in charge of all her treasure. And he, the Ethiopian eunuch, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. So we get the picture. Philip is just going about his day, probably thinking about how we're going to keep the people happy in the church. An angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, hey, I want you to go down to that dirty, dusty street. And so Philip goes down to the dirty, dusty street, trucking along, and he sees this guy in a chariot. And it's an Ethiopian eunuch who just so happened to be in charge of all of the queen of Ethiopia's money. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. And this guy in this chariot is reading a scroll, which would have been huge. So we're talking a big chariot. This Ethiopian eunuch is reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. So Philip ran up. He said, at least he's in good shape. So he ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, well, how could I? Unless someone guides me. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. in humiliation his judgment was taken away, who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water! What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. And Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea, which is a city in Israel and a port. Verse 26 is an amazing story. People so struggle with the supernatural. Does God heal? Are there really angels? It's right here in the Bible. And the angels didn't go away. The angels are right here with us today, in this very room. Some of you are like, really? Him? No, not him. They're here. Verse 26 of this chapter, it says this, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, verse 26, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. Philip is encountered by an angel from heaven. Go south, get on the road. What? Well, why isn't one of the disciples doing this? Aren't they the big shots? Aren't they the heroes? Aren't they the big name people? You know, isn't it supposed to be, you know, like Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or at least Ron Tucker? It's just Philip. He's just an administrative dude. Why would you use this guy? He's not even one of the apostles. This is an angel speaking to him and he's following along. It's just Philip. Who is this guy? He's not even mentioned in the gospel. Who's Philip? Well, he's one of the seven dudes that were picked out of the seven. But he wasn't even mentioned first. Stephen was mentioned first. It's just Philip with one of the other five guys that were picked. Who's Philip? Why him? It's just a guy. It's just a man. Was he legitimate? Why him? And he just walks along and he sees some guy rolling past in a Cadillac Escalade. You know, reading part of the Bible. And he runs up and says, okay, this must be my divine appointment. I'm going to go jump in this guy's chariot. Verse 27, so he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch. I love how the Bible, Luke is a doctor, the guy who wrote this. You get all the details with doctors. It's like not just a word, it's sarcoma, sarcapa, hapa, jaba. You get all the details with doctors that could just break that down. It's almost like, what was that word you used earlier?
Schema.
Schema. Yeah, I don't know that word. Are you a doctor, Greg? No. But they give you the details and all other things. This isn't just some guy. He's not from just, I don't know where he's from. It doesn't make any difference. Yes, it makes all the difference in the world where this man's from. It makes all the difference where he's from. He's from Ethiopia. And as Americans, most of us are, where's Ethiopia? Is that just west of Peoria? No, Ethiopia, it's a country kind of in the northeast quadrant of Africa. It's an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's a court official. He's a big guy. He's like head of the treasury for the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. Why do they mention her name? Because she's got a name. And this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's in charge of all the treasure. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. So what do we know about this Ethiopian eunuch? He's a God-fearing man. He's a God-fearing man. Probably not Jewish, probably not necessarily a convert to Judaism, but maybe he is. We don't know that. But we do know he has an interest in heaven. He has an interest in the things of God. And he's a powerful man. He's someone noteworthy. He's a person of influence in his home country, which is exactly what Holy Spirit does. He says, you have a divine appointment, Philip. I could send one of the big shots, but I actually want to teach the rest of the church. I'm not interested in using the big shots. How about just Philip? Just a servant. Just a nobody. He's just the guy who handles the coffee. Well, what kind of coffee? He's just the parking attendant. He's just the guy who sweeps the floors. She's just the one who cleans up afterwards. It's the guy who takes the trash out. Well, why would you use him? Has he been to Bible school? That's just the point. There's no qualification other than you believe in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, this guy that nobody knows is just Philip. I'd like to use him. Well, who again is this faith girl? Has she been to Bible school? What? Who is that? And who's Carolyn? Who are these people? Have you been to Bible school, Carolyn? No, no. Faith, have you been to Bible school? No. And God's using them. Why? Because they love Jesus. Why not? Well, it's just Carolyn. It's just Faith. It's just Denny. And God has a unique call for them that only they can walk out. And they're just as important as Ron Tucker at Grace Church. And they're just as important as Jeff Perry at Family Church. Just as important, just as noble, just as powerful, because they can do things that Jeff Perry and Ron Tucker and Tom Kyle can't do. They have a story, and they will reach people I will never be able to reach. Never. It's just Philip. He's just a guy. But this guy is muy importante. How do I do, Jair? Importante? No, not good. I'm trying. I'm doing the work. He said, Tom, work on your Spanish. I'm trying. Philip tells us, this guy, all about Jesus. He doesn't, do we know what I love? He doesn't say, and he invited him to church on Sunday. He didn't give him a book to read. He gives him what changed his life. Not church, not a book. He says, that prophetic scripture you're reading out of the prophet Isaiah, it's talking about the lamb that was slain. And his name is Jesus. And he changed my life. And he wants to change your life. It's just Philip. But Philip knows Jesus. And Philip actually knows the Bible. It kind of makes a difference. Because he went on and told them all about the prophet. He knew exact passage because he was familiar with the Bible. Do you think it makes a difference if you know your Bible? Yeah. Because people are looking for answers, not your opinion, not my opinion. What does the Word of God say? Do I have real answers? That doesn't mean that you can't speak if you don't have an answer, because you know people who do have an answer. But that's why we study the Bible, because people are looking for life. They're looking for hope. Yes, my story counts. But what does the Bible have to say? Our culture wants to define us. Our culture wants to tell us what's right and wrong. What does the Word of God say? Didn't invite him to church, didn't give him a book. Let me tell you about this man, Jesus. And this eunuch, this Ethiopian guy, he's born again. He's baptized in water. He starts reading the Bible. You know he's a worshiper. And the beautiful thing is, you know what this Ethiopian eunuch is going back to? He's going back to a continent called Africa. He's going back to a nation called Ethiopia. He's going back to a job where he's a person of influence, the Queen Candace of Ethiopia. Why would the Lord do that? Because the Lord said, I want to take the gospel into Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And here it's starting right here, our first seed into a continent. Didn't use Peter, didn't use John, didn't use Doubting Thomas. Probably wouldn't have thought it could happen anyway. Philip, it's just him. Why can't it be just Caleb? Why can't it just be Mark? Why can't it be just Angie, just Jim? He qualifies all of us. Stephanie, you're qualified. You tell so many people about Jesus. So many children go home talking about this amazing lady, and some of them find out you know Jesus. And he delights in using me and you. Because it's just you. It's just me. And maybe you're listening to Faith's story this morning, and some of us could relate and think, wow, that is a horrible story that is so beautiful, so amazing. And Jesus takes the ugly out of our lives and makes and fashions something beautiful, where it's just loss and pain and abuse and ugly. And he says, you're perfect. I doubt that 15 years ago, Faith thought she'd be standing in front of a church people, of all things, talking about Jesus. I don't think that was her plan. And look what Jesus has done and is going to do. And you're going to stand in front of a lot more people than 200 in the days to come. A lot more. No fear. Don't be afraid. He fills your mouth. But you wait and see what Jesus is about to do with you, madam. It was a seed sown into a continent because all the Jews, as we read about in 5, 6, and 7, they just wanted to stay at home in their cozy little confines, and persecution and pain got them out to actually obey the gospel. And Philip is one of those who's thrown out. Acts 1:8, New American Standard again. Acts 1:8, this was the goal. This is the job description. This is what Holy Spirit said. But you, speaking to the disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth, including Ethiopia. Here it is. It's our guy, just Phil. I love what God does with this. And Faith, this is for you, young ladies. It's just Phil. Well, what happened to him? I don't know. I don't know what happened to Phil. He was just transported out somewhere. He's gone. Ethiopian eunuch is like, who was that masked man? I don't know, but I'm going to go home and tell everybody I know about the miracle that just happened on this desert dirty road. And then the Bible carries on in Acts 21, verse 4 through 9. This is the story of Saul destroying the church, now Paul, the apostle. Paul is on a missionary journey, and he's headed back, and pain is ahead of him. But that's okay. God's with him. In Acts 21, verse 4 through 9, this is what the Bible says, a few chapters ahead. After looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul, who was Saul, now Paul, through the Spirit, not to set foot in Jerusalem. And when our days there were ended, we left and started on our journey. While they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. And kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. This is the group of people praying with Paul, because Paul's going somewhere, and it's probably not a happy ending. And they feel, because they love this man Paul, who used to be their enemy. Verse 6, then he went on board the ship, this is Paul, and they returned home again. Verse 7, when we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemy, and after greeting the brethren, we stayed with them for a day. This is Paul, verse 8. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist. That's not the same guy, is it? Entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. Now it's like the Magnificent Seven. It's like a movie title. Some of you are old enough to remember the story of Western. Clint, you know, it wasn't Clint Eastwood. It should have been. Steve McQueen was in it. Yes. I actually have all their names written down, but I'm not going to go there. But now the seven, just the deacons, now they're legend. This is years later. This is Philip. Oh my gosh, he was one of the seven. Before, it's just a deacon. But these were powerhouse people, no names that became useful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was one of the seven. But now he's not just a deacon. He's not just Philip. Now he's Philip the evangelist. Not a job promotion. But now he's noted for many, many different things. He's not just a deacon. I wonder what people know you just as. I know. Are you just the keyboard player? Are you just the secretary? Are you just the nurse? Are you just the lady that stays at home? Are you just the retired guy that lives down the street? And the Spirit of God is hovering above you, wanting to wake us up. Now I'm just used by Him. I'm powerful and mighty, used in His hand. Verse 9, just a little fun thing. Same. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. The anointing, the blessing spreads to your family. They're prophetesses. It was so noted, the Bible actually makes mention of it. Philip was an amazing guy, but in many people's minds, he was just Philip. And I look at people in this room and I think, well, that's just Jason. He does electric. And I look at the anointing on Jason's life and I think, what God has for him to do in the days ahead. And we won't know him as just Jason. Great, but how? What does that have to do with you? What does it have to do with me? Nice verses. Good for Philip. He's dead. Actually, he's with Jesus. He's very much alive. But great, but how? What does it have to do with me? How do I apply this to my life? I have a question for you and for me this morning. What is your current just? What are you known as? You're just a teacher. Oh, I just work with Thrive. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm just a greeter at church. I just work with a coffee. I'm just doing this. Nothing glamorous, nothing anyone would note, and heaven is waiting. Heaven has things for you to walk into, step into, just you, the seemingly nobody. What is your current just? The beautiful thing about Philip was he did it so amazing. He was so involved with what he was doing. All he was doing was settling a squabble amongst women in the church. That's all he was doing. But he actually handled it with integrity. He gave himself to it, and he became excellent at it. So much so, he says, now I have something else for you to do. And next, what is it you're just doing now? Maybe you despise it. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you put no value on it. I'm just a nurse. I just work here. But what is God, the plans that he has for you? If I'm diligent here, who knows what God would do with you? It's just you. And God says, I have the Spirit of heaven is all over you. I have so much for you to do. Just be faithful today with what you're doing. Philip was reading the Bible before he became famous. Because when he stepped into it, he had to know what the Bible said. Where's a great place to start? Read the Bible. Become familiar with it. I'm just a mom. I love this. I think about these just people. There was a lady named Susanna. She lived in the 1600s. And she had 19 children. 19 kids. And she homeschooled them. Two of her kids were named John and Charles. And they were the Wesley boys. And as you read the chronicles and the story of her life, it says that at some point, she had 10 surviving children. and all these kids are around her. And it would say in the middle of the day, she would pull her apron over her head and just pray. Can you imagine what she might be praying for? 10 little kids running around, spaghetti everywhere. Oh, I think she prayed. But see, Susanna Wesley was just a mom, just teaching homeschool. But you know what this just mom did? She raised two boys, one of them John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church, and Charles, who was an amazing, almost equal evangelist. Just a mom. I wonder what God has for you. As I'm just disciplined and diligent with my just, I wonder what God has for you and for me. I asked this person's permission to say this, and he gave me a yes, so I'm going to say it. Trying to do the math. 12 years ago, almost 13, but 12, this church started in, 2013. Church started in 2013, so you do the math, figure it out. I'm not going to do math. After 8 months, we were meeting on Tom Genever across from Fort Zumwalt North High School, and we were told by the people who managed our building that we were leasing were out. They're going to sell the building. Life Church, it's only 8 months old, go somewhere else. You can't stay here. So I'm like, we're 40, maybe 45 people, and we have nowhere to go in 2 months. So I'm like, okay, fine, Jesus knows. And so I talked to a lovely lady named Debbie Haley, we're not mentioning names. So I talked, and I didn't get her permission, so sorry. So I talked to this lovely lady, Debbie Haley, who does commercial real estate and helped me with a different church a few years before. And I said, Debbie, we need a building. And she said, I said, I don't want a church building. I do not want a church building. I just want a school where we can rent, a building where we can rent. I don't want a church building. She said, okay. So she had 3 or 4 different places for me to look. And she said early on, she said, well, there is this church building. Her office was directly Kitty Corner or Kitty Corner? Corner. Over there. And she said, well, there's this church building you really should look at. I'm like, I don't want to look at a church building. I don't like church buildings. People are more interested in the carpet color and the chair color. I don't care about carpet and color. I care about people. I don't want to sink a bunch of money into a building. She said, I really think you should talk to them. I said, I don't want to talk to them. It was something like that. I'm so soft and yeah. And so finally, after a couple of weeks, we found nothing. And she said, do you want to talk to the people at that church building? I was like, fine. And so we came over, instant, boom, this is it. Didn't want the church, but we're going to rent. And we rented with this other church for a couple of months, and then they could no longer exist as a church. And wonderful people, wonderful, wonderful people. In fact, there's people in this room who are going to that church. They're here today. And I talked with a couple of the leaders, and this is kind of the awkward point. It's all good. It's all fine. Because I'm going somewhere with it. And I heard about a guy in the church, at that church, not this church, who used to go but isn't going anymore, and his name was Mark. And I said, I heard about this guy, Mark. Can you tell me about this guy, Mark? It's Mark Levesque. And I did. I asked his permission to tell the story. So it doesn't make it right, but I did get his permission. So I asked these leaders, I said, I've heard about this guy, Mark. Can you tell me about him? And they said, Mark. And I said, Mark Levesque. And his name stood out because I used to know a Levesque. It was kind of unusual. Irish, right? French, I know. I said, I've heard a little bit about this guy, Mark. Can you tell me about him? And they said, oh, he's trouble. That's what I was told. Kathy confirmed it. No. I didn't know Kathy at the time. That's not true. I was told, this guy's trouble. Stay away from him. He's trouble. I was like, oh, that's what they said about Jesus. Jesus was trouble to some people. So I inquired a little more, and the trouble was he was wanting to bring the Holy Spirit into the previous church that met years before. That was the trouble he was causing. He wanted to bring Holy Spirit into the church, and they didn't want the Holy Spirit in their church. And so I said, oh, now I'm more interested in meeting this guy. And I asked a couple of things, and they said, oh, Mark, he's just a salesman. He's just a salesman. That's all he is. He's just a salesman. He wanted to be in the ministry, but he's just a salesman. And I went, huh. Just a salesman. Huh. As soon as I hear somebody say just about somebody else, it piques my interest. Because it was like the same thing they said about Jesus. Isn't this just Mary and Joseph's son? Like the son, he's just son of a carpenter? Who do you think this Jesus is? So I've come to appreciate Mark Levesque and Kathy. And this man, he went through it. Again, it's not about him this morning. But he just went through a lot of difficulties. And people didn't recognize the anointing and gifting upon his life. And how much he loves Holy Spirit. And now, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, different part. So now, Mark is going into the continent of Africa. And he's actually pastoring pastors and changing culture, nations in Africa. It's just like 10, 12 years ago. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't settle for just what other people said about his justness. Yes. I'm just this. I'm just a salesman. I'm just a nurse. I'm just a teacher, whatever it is. Because he recognized he has an anointing, and he didn't let people keep him small, and he didn't choose to stay small himself by getting bitter and frustrated with where he was in the moment. Because I believe deep down he knew he was called for something bigger and different and better than where he just was in the moment. So where are you just in your moment right now? Because I found one principle with Jesus. What I'm doing today has a lot to do with what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. If I'm faithful with my today, with what he's just given me to do today, a lot of my future is predicated on, am I being responsible with what he's given me to do today? It's called stewardship. What's my just today? Because in this room, there are people who are going to be traveling to nations. Amen. And it might be predicated on how I'm handling my just what I am now. Because God doesn't hold you in your just. But am I being faithful? Am I just walking with God? Am I listening? Am I learning? And this man who was not welcome in a local church is now teaching pastors and changing nations in Africa. Not because he's amazing, but he is. But he chose not to be bitter, and he chose not to remain small, and he chose not to get an attitude and get mad and frustrated with his just today, because this is all he was allowed to do. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you delight in picking Philips, who were nobodies in his day. And because Philip was faithful, because Philip was responsible, because Philip did a great job in handling a squabble in the church, Lord, you used him for this, and then that, and then that, and then that. But Lord, even if it's just this, and this is all I'm ever going to do in this lifetime, I want to be diligent with what you've given me to do. If I'm just a husband, and I'm just raising kids, who knows if I'm not going to raise a John and a Charles Wesley. And I'm just going to give myself to these kids. And I'm just going to love them. And I'm just going to love my wife. And I'm just going to be faithful. And when she prays and asks me to change, I'm just going to listen. And I'm just going to respond by the grace of God. Not worrying about my future. I just want to be diligent with what you call me to do today. And if it's cleaning toilets, I want to do it faithfully. If it's sweeping floors, I want to be faithful with sweeping floors. If it's just working at Chrysler, I just want to be the best possible attendant and worker at Chrysler and not have a sour face and a sourpuss answer for everyone around me. I want to be sweet like heaven. And I want to be the best worker I can possibly be and trust you with my future. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the gifts and callings that are so deep and so dynamic in this very room. I thank you that they looked at Jesus as trouble, and he was just a carpenter's son. But Father, you had an anointing and a calling. Lord, we don't know what our future brings, but I can do something about my today. I can walk with you. I can listen to you. I can read the Word of God and apply and change what I need to change in my heart today, that I don't stay small in my own mind, that I understand my image in your name and my identity and who you call me to be. Jesus, help us to be responsible and faithful and godly today, and we trust you with our future. I thank you for nations that we're called to, but Lord, I want to be disciplined today and faithful today. Bless us as we go in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Be blessed, be encouraged.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.